And now, the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Big D and Bubba, they have a show 5 days a week, but they don't get to say everything that's on their mind, so they have an extra one, and that's how we get the podcast.
The podcast this week brought to you by our friends at Betterment. Technology is changing the way people invest. Whether you're a multi-million dollar investor or you're just starting out, Betterment is the smart answer to the question, how should I manage my monies? Powered by smarter technology, personalized for your financial goals, Betterment automatically manages your investments, minimizes taxes, all for a fraction of the cost of traditional financial services. You just set it and forget it. That's what's awesome. That's why it's better. It's even in the name, Betterment. With over 95,000 customers and $2.3 billion under its management. Let that sink in. That's billion with a B.
That's a lot of money.
Uh-huh. Betterment is the smarter, easier way to invest. Isn't it time? Tick, tick, tick. That you use smarter technology to build your wealth. Sign up today and receive all 6 months or up to 6 months free right now. Get all the terms and conditions at betterment.com/podcast. Again, that's betterment.com/podcast. Betterment, investing made better. Sign up for your free trial again at betterment.com/podcast. That's betterment.com/podcast.
All right, everyone, have a good week.
Had a great week.
What was the best part of your week's week?
Best part of my week was last night. My son, you know, it's weird kind of connecting with your kids. Like right now, you and Gunner have a connection because of baseball, and you're always back and forth, and you're talking. You have a, you know, hey, how do you think you hit today? You know, hey, you know, you dropped your shoulder, you know, that kind of stuff. Yeah. I don't really have that because my son's not playing sports right now. So anything that he, you know, throws out there, then I'm like, yeah, man. Yesterday I'm sitting there and I'm watching Alone, which, by the way, is the best TV show. It's a little slow, but holy cow, it's great watching these people go nuts. And I'll talk about that here in a minute. But he comes up and he goes, hey, Dad, yeah, I sang a song and I want to do a video to it. Do you want to be the director?
Oh, that's cool.
Like, that's awesome. Yeah. I'm like, what's your phone on? 20%. I'm like, let's get it to 45. And we'll go do it. So he put it on the charger, 45. We went out and filmed his video. And it was fun. We had a great time. And we put it up on the TV, you know, and watched it all on the big screen. And it was just, that was cool. So, yeah, that was the highlight of my week. You?
Well, probably a school for Gunner. He's going to a private school for the first time ever. He's ever gone to school, ever.
Zach went to school for a little bit.
He went for a year.
And then you've been homeschooling, so Gunner wasn't in kindergarten yet.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So
12 years old, never been to school.
Yeah, it was really weird. He told me, he goes, I go, how was school, man? What'd you like about it? He goes, I love it.
There are girls everywhere.
He goes, no, I didn't even bring that up. He goes, I like the fact that I have my own locker in my own place. I can put stuff. And they gave me a locker up, a high locker, like on the top,
yeah,
top one.
Because he's tall.
Yeah, and he said, so he goes, I have a place to put all my stuff, and he goes, my Bible teacher is really cool, and my science is, he also teaches science. He goes, he's like a real man. He's like a dude, you know. He's just like, he's funny. It's fun. And he goes, it's great. I enjoy it.
So that's cool.
Yeah,
and you actually get to watch him go to school and everything.
What do you mean? Oh, earlier? Yeah. What, homeschooling?
Yeah. No, I mean, like, you got to watch him go to school that day, right?
Oh, yeah, 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 I did. Yeah,
so it was cool.
Yeah, it was a neat, it's kind of weird having that moment when, you know, later in life, but yeah. Anyway, how about you, Patrick?
I remember, I don't remember, let's see, what's the best part of my week? I wore a shirt on Wednesday that said, do you like my tay-tays? And it had two pictures of Taylor Swift on it. And that was fun because I went to three different events that day. And I had my picture taken by about a dozen people, half of whom I don't even know.
It sounds like one of Bubba's t-shirts. People take pictures of his shirts all the time.
That doesn't happen with me.
It happened on the airplane the other day. Remember? We're on a Southwest flight.
Yeah. It was very fun. A little too much attention boobs, but, you know, it was.
Didn't
so
I
fun.
Tell you, though? Didn't I say?
You said if I wore that T-shirt, everyone would want to take pictures and it would be a huge hit. And it was. And it was funny. And I'm not going to lie, it made my day a little bit brighter. It just did.
Were you going to talk about school memories?
I remember how much I wanted a locker when we, you know, when you're in the fourth, fifth, and sixth grade, and you know that at middle school or, you know, junior high, you're going to get a locker in the seventh grade. That's how it was for us. And I just remember how cool that was. Mm-hmm. Like, you didn't have to carry your books around or keep them in a cubby in your homeroom class. No, man, we had a locker, and it had a combination, and I'm the only one who knows the combination. Like, that's so cool when you're 12.
Yeah.
That's probably the first private thing you have.
Yeah,
you know,
probably. Did you guys decorate your lockers?
Yeah.
What'd you have in yours?
Mine was just pictures of girls and skateboarding and surfing and, yeah.
Really? Yeah. Like what age?
I had weird stuff hanging. Like, you know how they had those little hangers on the top?
Yes.
I always had a baseball cap in there because, like, you know, you can't – back then, they wouldn't let us wear ball caps to school, so I'd have to – when I walked in, I'd have to hang it up there. But I also had, like, a little those little Hula Girl scent things to make your car smell better.
Yeah.
I had one of those hanging.
Yeah.
So that was it. I had a decent-smelling locker.
I'm not going to tell you anything you couldn't have guessed on your own, but my locker was the one that when you opened it, like, it was a danger of stuff falling out and killing you.
Yes.
Yeah, it was bad.
The worst was having a bottom locker and not realizing the person above you had theirs open. And then you go to stand up and you hit the back of your head on the point of that locker. Ah! That was the worst.
I always see you, Bubba, growing up as like, what's a guy from Fast Times at Ridgemont High?
Spicoli.
I always see you as kind of a Spicoli kind of guy.
Mr. Hand. That's you, dude. Yeah. Surfing.
Is that kind of you? Was that you a little bit?
Do you ever order a pizza and have it delivered to class?
No, but I should have. You saw some of the pictures from like high school, like where everybody's sitting there. I think I showed you the one from our yearbook. There's like, you got one guy reading calculus, the next guy reading algebra, and I'm reading Batman right next to each other, like in study hall.
Yeah, so I'm pretty much dead on with my analogy then.
Yeah, you are pretty accurate there.
In high school, Patrick, were you kind of a bookworm?
I wasn't, but I was a nerd. I was an odd. Okay, I haven't ever talked about this because y'all just assume I was a nerd, but I was not nerdy enough to fit in good with the nerds. And then there were also like the guys who wore all black, like the freaky kids, you know,
the goth kids.
Well, we didn't have goth kids. With us, it was rock and roll. It was black clothes and long hair, and we were all, you know, guitar players or whatever. I wasn't cool enough to hang out with those kids, but they were kind of my friends. And I wasn't nerdy enough to hang around with the nerds, but they were kind of my friends. So I didn't really fit into either group. But at the same time, by the time I was a senior, I was kind of a part of – I fit in with everybody a little bit. So it was really cool by then. But early on, it was like, oh, yeah, you know, I don't really have any close friends.
Were you a good student?
I was a terrible student. I was a terrible student. Way too smart for my own good at 15 and 16.
You're too smart for your own good now.
Yeah, but no, now I know how to handle it. Now I know what my strengths and weaknesses are, and I've built my life around it. You know, I know what I'm good at and what I like, and I manage it well. But
were you
back then? It's in the structure of school, and Bubba, you had to be the same way. In the structure of high school, you are a very smart person, but I'm guessing you didn't do really, really well in class.
No, I did well on all the standardized tests and things like that. And, I was bored.
My math teachers hated me most of my teachers hated me. My math teachers hated me because I wouldn't pay attention. One year, probability and statistics in the 10th grade, the teacher told us, or in the 11th grade, we were allowed to sleep if we wanted to. She wasn't going to stop us. It was right after lunch, and she knew some of us would be tired. And if we wanted to take a nap, we could take a nap. But she wasn't going to help us when it came time for the test. You know, we were going to, you know. So every day I took a nap in that class. It was after lunch. I was a little tired. Took a 45-minute nap. Made an A on every test.
Wow.
I mean, but math, that kind of stuff just came, you know, easy to me.
When we were coming up, we had I told you the bubble story, right?
I don't think so.
When we were coming up, it was when they were first bringing in the bubble test, where basically you have the, you know, the four answers, and then the last one was like none of the above you know, whatever. And you had to fill in the bubbles, and they were computer-graded tests.
Scantron.
Yeah, whatever they were. What is going on? Your microphone keeps
clipping.
This
microphone has got a weird...
It's got like a bad ground or something. Every time you touch it, it goes... that might be something to look into. But yeah, so they brought in the bubble tests, and one day, you know, you're just sitting there and you're a kid and you're letting your mind wander. And I'm like looking at this test and I'm like, when they grade it, are they looking for the right answer or the wrong answer? And I thought to myself, it would make more sense if they, when they scanned it, if it looked for the right answer. Yeah. So I tested a theory one day. I filled in all five bubbles on every single question for the whole test. And it was for one of the exams. And that's what I turned in. I didn't do any work. I just filled in every bubble. And
got 100%.
I got 100, but yet she failed me. I got an F on it. And I'm like, you know, this is... So I ended up taking... It was Miss Torbert. I ended up taking her to the office. I'm like, I'm not going to... I said, I passed this. I said, is every correct answer there? Yes. I said, well, then that's an A. That's 100. If every correct answer is there... And you know me, I was a smart aleck.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, if every correct answer is there, then that's an A. You can't flunk me. I can't. I'm your teacher. And I was like, okay, fine. Well, let's go to the office and let them discuss it. Or let them decide. So I walked out of class and I went to the office. Sure enough, she did not follow. And they get on their little, they get on the thing.
Miss Torbert, can you please come to the office?
And she walks into the office and they basically made her give me an A.
Are you kidding me?
For real.
No, hey, you know
and
what, though?
You know,
they should. Well, because if no, you're smart enough to beat
this
the system.
This is exactly what he said. He said, wait, before we argue this out, he just, I'm telling you why I want him to have the A. Because he found a way to beat the system. And isn't that what America is all about?
Right.
And he said, we're educators. We're teaching these kids how to be better. In society, if you figure out a better way, then you should be rewarded for it.
Okay, so then why do...
Bubba single-handedly caused the company that made that scanning equipment to make a better scanner.
They for the rest of the school year, they had a policy. If you fill them out, it will be an automatic F. I was the only kid to get away with it and get a 100.
I have a similar-ish story, I was much younger. I was in the third grade. I was 8 years old. And I never knew that my third grade teacher hated me because I was eight. But years later, my mother told me, she goes, oh, I ran into your third grade teacher. And I said, oh, okay, yeah, I remember her. She goes, yeah, she hated you. Really? And so I was that kid. It was the second or third week of school. And on Monday, you would get, every week on Monday, you would get new spelling words. You'd get 25 new words. You had to learn how to spell them. And throughout the week, you had to write each word 25 times. And you had to write each word in a sentence 5 times. You had to write the definition 10 times. And use all this repetitive stuff. Just to learn the new word. And I hate busy work to this day. I just, oh, here, write each word 25 times. Used to just drive me insane.
Mm-hmm.
So they gave us new words on like the third week of school. And I said, I don't want to do this because I know all these words. And she said, you don't know all these words. These are brand new spelling words. I said, I know them. She goes, well, if you know them, then well, you're going to take the test right now. So she made me take the spelling test where they call out the word and you have to spell it on the Monday when I had never seen the words. And I made 100%. So they changed the school policy that every Monday they gave a pretest. And if you passed the test, then you didn't have to do any of the busy work to learn the new spelling words, but you had to get all of them right.
Oh, that's great, man.
So every week I would make 100 on the Monday test, and I would just not have to take spelling for the whole week. Which is really, why should you have to sit there, you said you were bored. Why should you have to sit there and do busy work all week to learn how to spell words you already know how to spell? School should not be built for the lowest common denominator in every situation.
And that's the problem with not just school, but with everything
oh,
in
God.
America.
You're
we
absolutely
dumb
right.
things down for the, or not even dumb it down. We change the rules to where it allows people who aren't good at whatever it may be
I feel
to
that way
succeed.
About the interstate.
Oh, you mean like what you did?
Yeah.
I feel that way about the interstate.
But I'm saying,
I mean, you're calling yourself out.
No, what he did was find a way to trick the system.
He didn't know how to do it. Yes.
I didn't know how to do it, so I came up with a better way. Boom. That's what it's all about. What I'm saying is, and what did they do? They changed the rules and said, you cannot do that ever again. Instead of saying, okay, everybody gets to do it, so everybody gets an A, they changed the rules so that it couldn't happen anymore. In society, what happens is, if somebody, you know, finds a way to cheat the system, they reward them. They reward them all the
time. That's
not
what I'm talking about. I'm talking about lowest common denominator.
Well, lowest common denominator is just, that is ingratiating because you have people who, it's I don't want to say, I don't want to go off on welfare and whatnot, but you have people that are very able-bodied, but there is no incentive for them to go out and get work because they're getting hooked up.
Why? Yeah. What I was going to say is if you go to Europe, specifically, I don't know, Germany, and I've spent a little time there, the interstate system, the Autobahn, is built for the people who can drive the best. It's built, all the rules are geared toward if you drive slow, you have to stay all the way to the right, and if you drive too slow, they will ticket you and not allow you to ride on the Autobahn anymore. In America, it's the opposite. In America, you can get on the interstate and go 45 miles an hour in the left lane, and there's no law against it in most states. And, you know, and if you're holding up traffic and there's 79 cars behind you all furious.
So be it.
So what? In Germany, that guy would be arrested instantly and taken off the highway. The guy driving in the left lane going 45 miles an hour is a detriment to the people who have somewhere to go and know what they're doing. And that so this society is built on the people who are working and ready to go. And let's go. I'm going to drive 200 miles an hour, and you shouldn't be in my way. And in America, that's the guy who's the bad guy. I'm sorry. It just drives me nuts, especially when I just want to go like 75, 80. You know, I don't want to drive too fast. But like there's a guy, there's an old lady on the left lane.
I want to drive
50.
Three fast.
But there's so many things that go into those decisions.
Yeah.
There's so many kickbacks and, you know,
of course.
All that stuff. So that kind of goes into it. But the I see what you're saying. It's the whole mentality of it is
backwards.
It's completely opposite.
Well, all of the students have to do the busy work because some of the kids don't know the words.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons why we homeschooled for the longest.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there's a lot of wasted time in school.
Yeah.
There's a lot.
My thing with homeschooling, my ex-wife wanted to homeschool, and I'm not allowing it, is because I want my daughter to socialize, yeah, to go to school and be around other kids. But also, there's a lot of factors that go into that, but, you know, I hated parts of school. But I remember in middle school when I was being bullied mercilessly, I remember my father to this day telling me, son, it's the podcast, right? There's a-holes everywhere, all through life. They're always going to be there. And you got to learn how to deal with them. So you might as well learn how to deal with them now.
Punch him in the nose.
That's not what he said.
But no.
He's right. He's right. Look at today. We still have to deal with awful people. They're there. They don't go away when you get out of school. So you might as well learn how to deal with them. You know?
Your mama's so stupid. She took the Pepsi challenge and chose Jif. What?
Not even. That was one of my favorite things we did all week. Your mama jokes.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I realized that it was all guys calling. I'm like, why is that?
But ladies were tweeting and texting. Ladies
and
just
Facebook.
Didn't call
if
in.
You look at Facebook, all the your mama jokes are almost all ladies.
What's up with that? Women just didn't want to call in and be the one to say it.
They don't want to sound mean. They'll type it.
Your mama's so ugly when she leaned over to hear snap, crackle, and pop. All she heard was, ah, get us out of here.
Your mama's so fat she went to the zoo and the hippopotamus was like, sup, baby.
Why did we do that again?
I don't know.
Oh, because I was in that thing with my
Your mama's so
buddy.
Old she forgot her purse on Noah's Ark.
Oh. Yeah.
Your mama's so old she babysat Yoda.
What? Your mom and your daddy both so fat they sit back to back and when they sing We Are the World, they are the world.
I remember when it was all about, you talking about my mama? Remember that? It was always, your mama.
And you're always, is that where that came from?
I think mom. Yes. Your mama jokes were earlier.
Remember when there was a TV show like 10 years ago where it was people telling your mama jokes against each other? There was a show on MTV. Yes, that was a real show.
I remember that.
I don't remember what it was called. It was probably like Your Mama or something like that, but it was awful. It was hosted by Mario Lopez, probably. I don't care.
Everything was Mario Lopez.
I don't know, man, but it could have been. Very easily could have been.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what's Mario ever done to you?
No, nothing. I really do think it was him.
You know, we met Mario one time. It was on a backstage thing at a show. And we're like, hey. And he goes, hey. And that was it. I mean, we didn't have anything to talk to him with, so we didn't try to strike up a conversation. But he was nice enough to say hey back to a stranger. He didn't know
who
we were.
Oh, my God. The show was called Yo Mama. It was on MTV.
Hosted by Mario?
Hold on. It's pulling up the Wikipedia page now.
It's going to be somebody. It's like a black comedian.
No, it's Wilmer Valderrama. Also a Mario
another,
Lopez.
Another ex-TV person.
Mario Lopez, Wilmer Valderrama, or whatever his name is. Same thing. Yeah. Not the same thing.
No, Mario's a stud. Mario is a stud, man. And by the way, everybody always says, oh, he's so short. And he was my height.
Yeah.
So he wasn't short to me.
Pretty short. Pretty short. Zach is really encouraged by the reaction online to his trick that he did.
I meant to ask you, did he see all the people freaking out on Facebook?
But man, I go, hey man, did you see this? He goes, oh, yeah, that's cool. And I was like, yeah, but I mean, look at all these people who think it's really cool what you're doing. He goes, yeah, I see that. I go, that's pretty neat, huh? Mm-hmm. Okay, all right. All right. Cool.
Thanks for playing.
Yeah. But he's been doing some working on some new stuff, and he's got a lot of working with some smoke stuff. I don't know. It
smoke?
Really is smoke, yeah. As a
yeah,
thing.
Is it gonna, but it's going to be fire?
No. But he, you know, there's so much I've spent so much excitement around my youngest son with athletics, and that's fun, and I spend a lot of time with him doing that just because I'm just the one who drives him there, and we enjoy talking about it, and we just, you know, we have that thing. But with Zach now, it seems like he and I are really getting, you know, I'm really honestly excited for him with the magic, because he's so good at it. It's like instead of a home run, that's his home run. And even though they're completely different, they're equally as cool as a dad. And I just think it's really neat how he's kind of blossoming and opening up. And it's good. Good stuff. All right, are we done then? I see Bubba's typing away, so I can
No,
we're
I
done.
Was replying. I'm trying to get tickets, football tickets. That's right. It's that time of year, baby.
Oh, it's that time of year where we start scamming people, asking if we can get free tickets.
That's pretty much
what they love do this it time. To us. They love do it to us for concert tickets. It goes
that.
Both ways.
Take
and
that.
Dude, not just concert tickets. We get it for, hey, we're having a so-and-so event. Who do you know that could play this? I mean, and then we have to go out and reach out to XYZ artist and say, hey.
I never ask somebody to play an event.
I have.
That's
once I said, hey, would you be interested in? It was very, very weird.
Yeah, it is.
Well, they're just going to tell you contact their agent or their manager.
The booking guy?
Usually the manager. It's that way. Because they're like, hey, because I had that. I don't mind. It was a thing for Lee. And I was like, hey, man. He didn't know. He doesn't know where he's going to be on a certain date.
Yeah, but asking him to show up and play an event like a party or a smaller event
I didn't get that involved.
Yeah.
But I mean, you think about it, I guess everyone goes, what do you have to do? You just show up and just, you sing for, I was on an airplane one time. Oh boy. I don't know if I can do this story.
Yeah, you can.
Okay. There are some people I need to protect.
Okay.
Famous people. Well, I was on this airplane with this guy, and he says he's well off, very rich. And he said he was getting married, and he reached out to a very well-known, very famous country artist.
Okay.
Because his wife that he's marrying, who is 25 years younger than him.
Wow.
You see where I'm going with it. She liked this artist. It's a guy, a male artist, and wanted him to sing one song at their wedding.
Was it a wedding song?
I don't know what the song was. I know it wasn't. I don't remember. I think it was kind of a love song, maybe. And so he said, I reached out to this artist through his people, and I said, hey, I'm going to fly you to my home in Idaho. I forget where it was. And I'm going to pay you $250,000 to sing one song at my wedding. I'll take care of all your transportation, fly you out, put you up, whatever you need.
Right.
Right.
And then I'm going to give you, this is what he said. And this was kind of odd to me. He said, I'll be $250,000 to the choice of your favorite charity. And this person said, came back. He goes, I didn't hear anything. Finally comes back and says, it's $800,000.
$800,000 for them or to a charity?
See, I don't know. It got weird. And I was like, you guys want to know who it was?
Yeah. Hold on. Mic's off. Wow.
Yeah, I'm not surprised by that, though. That's You're talking about
that's actually
the top 20 or 30 guys in music, maybe 50 guys, that they make more than that. They make more than that. On one night, the guys make lots of money in one night. And here's, there's weird, and the private thing at a wedding, maybe they get around it, but they all have booking contracts with agents that say, if you play a show, any show in within a, it's like within a 100-mile radius, you can't play that market again for 12 months. Or everybody's contract is different.
I'm sure they have like a charity waiver, right?
I don't know.
Because it's, charity events are usually smaller and that kind of stuff.
Charity, yeah. But
I think this guy, he was very smart. And so I think he put the charity thing in there as his
a way to
entice. His way to try to guilt them into doing it. Because you turn down $250,000 for charity and you're a bad person.
And then they come back with $800,000, and I don't know what the other terms were. They changed the terms, like, hey, you know what? I don't know. But anyway, he said he didn't do it. He goes, well, I'm not going to spend $800,000 for
that person,
blank, blank, to come out and play.
Yeah. You know, here's the thing, though. I mean, let's be honest. If you're the greatest baseball player in the world, and somebody wants you to show up to your kid's bar mitzvah, are you really going to do it?
People do it.
I know
people
they
do,
but
for a lot of money. But you know.
This person, I think by making his number higher, he said, look, if I'm going to stop and take time out of my life to go and do this, I'm going to make it worth my while or worth the charity's while because, again, we don't know the terms.
It sounds incredible to us to go, they offered you $250,000.
But to that person, it's a drop in the bucket right. For that person.
I mean, you're talking about you play an arena show of 15,000, I'm going to use easy numbers, 15,000 tickets, and the average ticket price is $50 a ticket, which these days for the average is low, okay? You're talking about $1.25 million gross on
now, there's
just
lots
that
of
arena.
People get paid okay. out of that.
And they, of course, and they pay the arena takes their cut and the agent, everybody. But still, when it's all said and done, that artist makes probably,
well, that artist
you know,
isn't, but the artist that we were just talking about isn't playing arenas 15,000.
No. That's just ticket sales. You're not even thinking about merch.
Yeah, this artist is playing yeah. bigger than that. So, I mean, you know. Ah,
it,
wow.
It's and then you're talking about all kind of stuff involved in it. It's just. I just
know that, like, I wouldn't want to do it because I'd be like, you know, I do that all the time. That's work. I don't want to work. I'm tired. I want to take a little time off now and then. If I were that person.
Yeah, I agree.
You'd be surprised by how many of those people do those things.
Like how, corporate events?
Oh, and or private events. How many times Mariah Carey shows up and sings at somebody's birthday party because they paid her $500,000?
Yeah.
Like
to sing one song.
To sing one song.
So a lot of the, it really
does. I had
does
Keith Urban
on.
At my birthday party. By the way, it was not Keith Urban. I had Keith Urban at my birthday party and we paid him blah, 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 blah. For like to sing happy birthday? That would be crazy.
I have a friend who works at a casino. I won't say where, but it's a
Can you
pretty,
say like my mom and dad do? Can you say casino?
Casino.
They were at
it's,
the casino.
It's a big resort type casino, okay? Like, and so they get these guys to come in and do private, not casino buy ticket shows, okay? Private shows for like 50 of their high rollers. And they get paid outrageous amounts of money to come and do four or five songs.
And like, entertain the whales.
That's it. Because that's what those guys want. They don't want to sit the super rich, you know, guys who are there to gamble, they don't want to sit through a 2-hour show. They want to see the person they like sing five songs, all the ones we know, and yep. and really intimate small room where there's only 50 of us in there.
Take a quick picture and
that's it. We all get a picture with so and so and we go home. So that's what they do. And they pay them
like
$150,000 was the number I heard for an artist.
Just to show just up.
I mean, a great singer, but not like a huge wow. star. Like, wow. So, yeah, there's money to be made in those things.
I don't know how they make, like, how do, like, rich people stay rich when they do stuff like that? Like gambling and all. That blows my mind. Absolutely blows my mind that you have these people like your Michael Jordans and all that who obviously have gambling addictions, and they show up and they'll drop $2 million in one night.
Well, Jordan,
the amount of money they have.
They said he did that stuff in the 90s, but I don't think he does it.
The amount of money that the super wealth, I don't mean people who make $500,000 or less. I mean the super, super wealthy. People who are multi-million, like Trump. Trump divulged
worth $10 billion.
That's what he put on his thing to run for president. But you know he's worth more than that.
Yeah. It's so hard for people to think about it because we all have a decent idea of what $1 million is. But $1 billion is 1,000 million. So 10 billion is 10,000 million. Here's an easier way to look at it. Think of $100,000. Now think of how if you had $100,000, Donald Trump could give 100,000 people $100,000 and do it.
Yeah,
that's how much $10 billion. It's outrageous.
Wow.
That's a lot.
Now, think of it this way. If you had $1 million, really think about it. If I had $1 million, would you give me $10? Would you give me $10 if you had $1 million?
Yes.
Yes. Well, if you were Donald Trump at $10 billion, that'd be like giving me $100,000. If Donald Trump gave you $100,000, it's the same thing as if a millionaire gave you 10 bucks.
Wow.
That's how much money he has.
Okay. All right, so it makes sense whenever these people go.
And he'll drop $1 million. If he loses $1 million tonight playing poker, he's still got $9,999 million.
Times 10.
No, that would say the million.
And then because he has so much money, it grows so fast that it almost, you get to a certain point where you can't outspend what it's making.
Yep.
Because you've already bought everything. You don't need anything. And so all of a sudden, it's just you just get wealthier by doing nothing.
Okay, this is why I believe rappers. How do people like rappers and athletes go broke?
You're talking about, now you're only talking about like 50 million. You're talking about, that's a whole different, I could blow, it's hard, but I could blow 50 million. Give me a little time. I could figure out a way to do it.
Because you see it happen all the time. All these guys, like, I don't know if you ever watched the 30 for 30 by Broke or whatever it was called. Fascinating. All these guys that go and they make these fortunes and they spend it and now they're all broke.
Happens all the time.
Luke Bryan made a joke earlier this week about, you know, you didn't want to get in a fight with Dr. Dre because you don't want to start a war of words with a billionaire. I think somebody said, you know, doesn't Luke have, you know, a lot of money? Nothing
Not
close
a billion.
To a billion. Not even close.
Yeah, that billion mark is
it's a whole different thing, man.
Yep, it's a whole different thing.
Dr. Dre didn't get it from music. He got it from licensing and other stuff, and then with beats, that's where he really made his money. But
CelebrityNetWorth.com. This will be fun. What do you think Luke Bryan's worth, everybody?
$45 million.
What he's worth? Yeah. His worth, though.
Now,
not what he made,
not
but
what he's worth.
Oh, I'd say...
Remember, that includes his house and all that stuff.
Yeah, and if he has rights
to assets and, mm-hmm. yeah. I said assets.
I'm going to say, but that's a pretty good guess, 45 million. I'm going to say, I'll go 60 million.
47 million.
Woo! Dude, how do you do
that? I've got a pretty good grasp on this. Not a joke.
Wow.
Oh, wait, this is
I bet
fun.
You Taylor's worth more than 100 million. Look up Taylor.
Hold on. I was going to just go to singers, but I'll do.
And there's no way, and whatever it is, it's probably low because her publishing, because she wrote all of her songs, those songs will be worth money for the rest of her life.
Okay, what do you think Taylor is averaging here lately per year?
Per year? I want to say it's around 30 million.
80 million.
Oh,
80 million
God.
Per year.
So, yeah, she's worth...
Her net worth is $240 million.
That's about right. And that's assuming a value on her publishing portfolio if she were to sell it, but it'll make way more than that in her lifetime. Wow. It'll keep making... Those songs will make money forever and ever because she wrote... All of them. That's the crazy part.
Yep.
She will. She could quit now and be richer than all of us for the rest of her life. And if she gave up every dime she had and just started taking her publishing money, she could live the high life for the rest of her life. It's going to be that much money.
Yeah.
That's why you just man. I just need one hit.
Okay.
Song.
Now wait, Hillary.
I don't
Scott.
Want a bunch of them.
Hillary Scott, Lady Antebellum, big stars, right?
Yeah, she's only worth a third of all of it. And
I'm
going to
say
yeah.
$8 million.
$11 million.
Okay, right in the middle there.
But, you know, that's the difference.
These numbers are guesses. Nobody really knows
this
stuff.
$11 million is a lot of money. Don't get me wrong. But then again, you compare that to a Trump-type situation.
Oh, right.
And you go, okay,
you look at Taylor. Taylor's worth, what, $250 million? Yeah. That's a lot of money. Yeah, no. That's
not in the scheme of the big players, it's really not. I mean, you get your if you think back in the early days with your Vanderbilts and your give me another railroad guy or steel guy.
Carnegie
and all those guys.
Rockefeller was worth more because they base it on percentage of gross national product, or gross domestic product, which is all the money in the U.S., you know. Rockefeller was worth a higher percentage of GDP than anyone who ever lived in America. He was worth like $1 billion, and the GDP of the country was like $99 billion. Like, he was worth more than 1% of the whole United States or something like that.
Yeah.
Getty was another one that was high, and most people forget about John Paul Getty was an oil tycoon in like the 60s and 70s.
Mm-hmm.
I never realized we have a lot of really wealthy friends. Like the Rascal Flatts guys, their estimated net worth is about $50 million apiece.
Dang. Well, that comes from the JCPenney stuff and the chocolate guys.
By the time Rockefeller died in 1937, his net worth was 1.5% of America's total economic output.
Wow.
To control an equivalent share today would require a net worth, you ready for this, of $340 billion, which is more than four times that of Bill Gates, currently the world's richest man. So Rockefeller, in his own time, was worth four times as much as Bill Gates is worth now.
Mm-hmm.
That's
staggering.
Crazy.
Ronnie Dunn, $50 million.
The writing on those songs will pay off forever. Not the only one who has the money from pure record sales is Garth. Garth sold so many records that's what single-handedly could have made him rich. The touring certainly did, but
this is fascinating, man. I could just sit here on this website all day long.
I'm weary of it because if any of those people hear this, they'll probably go, "Wait a minute, I ain't worth that much."
Yeah, it is really. These are all guesses, and they're best guesstimates, but still kind of give you a ballpark. You know,
just fascinating. It really is.
Well, this is depressing.
my net worth is $11, which is how much is in my wallet right now. So we don't get paid till Monday, so I got to,
Yeah, all right.
Oh, no, we got paid today.
Yeah, we got paid today. I already
looked. Yeah!
That's right. That's how you know we aren't worth $5 billion, because I already looked to see if we got paid. I checked.
I'm fascinated by the Little League World Series. It really is a thing. I'm sitting there watching it. Kind of spacing out. It was an incredible play. I got a chance to take both my boys to Williamsport for the Little League World Series. That kid is out, by the way. Watch his play. First baseman goes up and tags him as he runs by. Boom.
Well, you can't see where his foot is.
He make the tag?
Tag foot? No, he is out. Yeah. Did they call him safe?
And they called him safe.
Oh, that's
and
terrible.
The kid missed the whole base. He never touched the base.
And they called him
and
safe.
They called him safe.
It was like that other kid, the one that they said was out, and they never touched him. He was a foot away.
If you're a parent of a son or a daughter who plays baseball, they made the call right.
Right.
Oh, good job. If you have a son or daughter who plays youth baseball, and I mean 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, those ages, you really, and they're really into baseball, you need to take them to Williamsport one time and experience that. Whether you have a team playing or friends playing or not, it's really one of the greatest weekends I ever had with my two boys. It was the greatest weekend I've ever had with my two boys. Nothing's even close to it. Not even vacations, families, nothing. Nothing even come close to that. It was so magical. It was one of those moments where I just sat there and was, wow, this is so cool. And, I had one son who was into it, and I had one who was not really so much into it.
But he was still into it because he was there with you. And
yeah, and at that age, Zach was, we're not sure what we're into at that age, but he was kind of into it. But they were getting to see those players walk around the hotel like they are –
Superstars,
and they're trading pins with each other, and they're all still really cool. And here's what I love: they're still kids.
Well, and they're kids.
They're goofy and they laugh and, you know, they horse around. It's just great. Great. So anyway, Gunner has one more chance to make the team, to try and get on a team together. It's a moonshot to try and get there. It's hard to get there.
Did you know Billy Gilman was worth $4 million?
No way. Yeah. There's no way that's true.
Yeah, built upon the one voice thing.
Did he write it? Because they didn't sell that many.
There's no way.
I don't think that's on that.
They did. It was a big deal.
Officially don't believe that website anymore.
I do believe some of these because here's a friend of ours that lives very large. Here, I'll tell you, it's $6 million is his. He lives like he's like he's rolling way.
No, I'm telling you right now, the publishing alone is worth more than that.
Okay.
And not to mention, like, they're not taking.
I'm
into
sorry.
Account.
Wait. Hold on. Wait. I'm going. Yeah, that's what the show.
Like.
Yeah.
I know where that guy lives. His property's worth more than that.
You don't know
how much of a lean is on it.
If they got Florida Georgia Line at $50 million, so you estimate probably 25 half. And
I mean, that's probably that may be true, but I'm telling you, the other one is still wrong. The $6 million. That's not right.
Yeah. Anyway, look, you can pick your favorite celebrity. It's called celebritynetworth.com and just go through it.
And make sure you have a Kleenex and a bottle of wine. Yes. Right next to easy grasp.
Yeah.
Gonna need that. Well, a fine podcast, gentlemen, and a great week. Have an awesome weekend and enjoy your time away from each other. That was weird sounding, but you know what I mean.
No, I knew exactly what you meant.
Yeah, it's kind of. We spend so much time together. It's good to get away sometimes. And thank you, Bubba's stomach. As always being there.
That one wasn't live. That was one off the tape.
Yes.
From one of the previous podcasts.
Yes.
This was the podcast, but now it's over. But that's okay, because you can listen to the regular show on the radio every day. It was the podcast.